God's good. All the time, God is good. Get ready, get your Bibles out. Turn to Ephesians. I was actually not sure what to preach because it's after Easter, and I was trying to, actually I was asking God to give me, can I get something light? Can I get a light platter? Have you ever gone to Bojangles and asked for a light platter? Go to Bojangles, ask for a light platter. You won't get a biscuit. You get a piece of grilled chicken and two sides. Usually it's two left sides, but still you get two sides. Or you can get the full-blown meal, okay? Well, I was asking God for a light platter for today. But instead of a light platter, as I was counseling with somebody who was going through something, the Lord spoke to me and said, here's your sermon. So today's going to be the intro. Next week will be the finish. And before we get started, I just want to tell you a little something. Might lead up to all this. A hit-and-run victim was just getting back to his feet when the policeman ran up to help. A mother-in-law, he said, my mother-in-law just tried to run me over. He told the shaking man told the cop, my mother-in-law just tried to run me over. He goes, hey. He says, the car hit you from behind. How can you tell it was your mother-in-law? He said, because I recognize the laugh. All right. Okay. All right. How many in here has ever been angry? How many has been angry with your spouse? You can raise your hands now because it's in church. It's a no-hit zone. They can't hit you back. How many has ever been angry with your children? How many has ever just been angry at yourself? Now I'm asking you a hard one, and it's going to take some real honesty. How many has ever been angry with God? Yeah. Okay. So we're going to talk today about anger. Kicking the cat. I'm going to start with a little story, then we're going to read this scripture, okay? Now I'm going to read it to start with. I'm going to tell this little story. And this is a cool story. Mr. B was the top dog in a very large company. Every morning he met some of his cronies for breakfast. And on this particular morning, he lost track of time. He didn't realize it was Tuesday night. He looked at his watch and realized he was going to be late for work. He left the restaurant, jumped in his car, barely had the engine started when he threw it in reverse to back out. He burnt rubber leaving the parking lot. As he got on the freeway, he put the gas to the fiberglass. As he sped down the highway, he looked in his rearview mirror. His heart skipped a beat when he saw a flashing light behind him. He pulled over and rolled down his window. The officer said, where are you going in such a hurry? He said, I'm needed at work. Abruptly, I'm a very important man. Well, you're not above the law. I didn't say I was, but you shouldn't be chasing, oh, here you go, this is always a good one. Shouldn't you be chasing real criminals and leave me alone? So Mr. B, he said, I'll leave you alone in a few minutes. Let me see your driver's license, registration, and proof of insurance. Mr. B handed him the requested information. Then he sat there and stewed. As the minutes passed by, he got more and more angry. The officer came back and handed him a ticket along with the rest of his documents. He grabbed them out of the officer's hands, rolled up his window, and took off down the road. He finally arrived at work, and he was really late now. When he got to work, the first person he saw was the sales manager. Good morning, Mr. B, said the sales manager with a smile. There's nothing good about it, barked Mr. B. I want to see you in the office now. The sales manager followed him into the office, and Mr. B threw his coat down on the couch, and he yelled at his manager, you fell short of your goal last week, and this is the second week in a row. I want you to know that you better get back on track, or I want you to know it ain't going to be good for you. Mr. B, the sales manager, objected. We just talked about this yesterday. We have four big deals. Any one of them will put us over the top. I'm sure that we'll get at least one of them. I believe it when I see it, Mr. B blurted out. while he looked through some papers on his desk. You're dismissed. The bewildered salesman walked back in his office. When he got there, the first person he saw was his assistant. He screamed at her and he said, as he had been screamed at, and then she screamed at somebody, then she screamed at somebody. It went on for the rest of the day. Somebody screaming at somebody else. Eventually, the receptionist got yelled at, and when she got home, the first person she saw was her 12-year-old boy. She yelled at him and sent him to his room. On his way to the room, the family cat walked in front of him, and he kicked the cat. So here's the question. Wouldn't it have been much better for everyone if Mr. B had just gone directly to the receptionist's house and kicked the cat himself? You got to think about that one. Okay. Now the question now is, whose cat are you kicking? Ready? Get ready. Ephesians chapter 4. Stand for the reading of the word. Verse 26. Don't ever be angry. Is that what it says? Be ye angry. It means it's okay to get angry. Be ye angry and sin not. Meaning, yeah, you can be angry, but don't. You got to watch. You got to watch what's happening to you while you're angry. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There's a difference in anger and wrath. Anger is one thing. You can go to bed angry, but you should not go to bed with wrath, because wrath is when the temper has taken over and it's seething and it's boiling. And if you go to bed with it seething and boiling, when you wake up, it's going to be something to behold. Matter of fact, you can go to bed mad at somebody with that wrath and wake up in the morning and be madder at that person because you didn't deal with it. Neither give place to the devil. Give place is this, open door. Y'all say open door. Be angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your temper exploding. And don't open the door for the devil. Wow. That's very powerful. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you are alive and well and you're on the throne. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to each of us in a very powerful way, to have your will and your way in our hearts. And we know, God, that we can do nothing, nothing without you. I ask you right now, God, to do what you do best, and that is show up and show off. Because we know, God, you got this, and we trust you 100% with all of this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be on the way down. Tell somebody this. Be careful. I want you to say it. Say it. Word for word. If you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. All right. Get ready. I think I might sit down for just a minute here. All right. How many's ever been angry? I've already asked you that. But how many's ever had a problem with anger? Honestly, everybody in here could raise their hands if we're going to be honest about it. So God knows that. So he says it's okay to be angry, and sometimes it's very helpful to be angry. It motivates you, and it puts you in a position to get things done. Matter of fact, let's talk about anger for a minute. Ready? Anger, there's a nature to anger. Anger is a God-given, powerful emotion. Did you know that? God gave it to you. It's a God-given, powerful emotion. It's a response to injustice. It's a response to pain or threat. A person makes the conscious choice to take immediate action or immediately stop the threatening behavior of another outside force. That's what anger is there for. If you go out there and you see a little youngin being abused by other youngers or by an adult, what you going to do? You're going to go out there and take care of business. It angers you. That's a healthy anger. That's taking care of that. That's stopping an outside force from hurting that youngin. Or you see somebody else being abused and you stop that. That's awesome. And you say, well, I thought we weren't supposed to get angry. Well, then are you better than Moses? Moses got angry. David got angry. God got angry. Jesus got angry. Wow. So if you've been angry lately, you're in a good group of people. Amen? There's nothing wrong with being angry. It is a great motivator. But when it goes beyond motivation, then there's a problem. So here, we're going to talk, like I said, this is just getting started here. What are the four sources of anger? Why do people get angry? What is it that makes a person act out in anger? Well, number one, hurt. Now, that's when your heart is wounded. How many here has ever been hurt? Your heart's been wounded. Everybody, that's one of us, can raise our hands. We've had our heart wounded, and when our heart gets wounded, of course, we react that way. Genesis 37, and it says, Israel or Jacob loved Joseph more than any other sons because he had been born in his old age, and he made him richly ornamented robe for him with a robe of many colors. When his brothers saw that their father loved them more than him, more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Wow. Their own brothers, the sons of Jacob, they were so hurt that they're holding the load and pulling the load, but their daddy doesn't notice them. All he ever notices is Jacob. So Jacob was the undisputed favorite, and that feeling hurt his brothers, and they felt rejected by their father, and they grew vindictive. So again, this was anger that got out of control. So they wind up taking their brother and selling him into Egypt and taking his fancy coat and killing a lamb and throwing it on it, the blood, and saying that he'd been eaten by a wild animal, and didn't know that he was going to wind up being the prime minister of Egypt. But their anger got out of control, and because their heart was hurt beyond what they thought was fixing. Number two, injustice. Now, for the injustice, that's when your rights have been violated. Now we're going to look at Jonathan. King Saul was very unjust to David. And he said, he was talking about putting David to death. King Saul was going to put David to death. And Jonathan said, why put him to death? What has he done? Jonathan asked his father, but Saul hurled a spear to kill him, his own son Jonathan. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David, and Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger. Wow. That injustice. How many of you ever seen, you knew that it was wrong? You knew that it was wrong. And if you stood up for it, as long as you didn't get out of hand, everything was okay. God expects you to stand up, but God doesn't expect you to go beyond. So Jonathan did not go beyond. Instead, he took David and got him out of the way so he wouldn't get hurt. The next reason for anger. You see, how many would have guessed those reasons for anger? Your heart's wounded. Your rights are violated. So if you look at it that way, guess what? Anger's not so bad if it's handled correctly, is it? Not at all, when it's handled correctly. But do not be eager in your heart to be angry. Here's the third source of anger: fear. Fear. You fear that their future has been threatened. Now we got King Saul. And King Saul, he thinks that David's going to take it. So when he saw this, they're saying Saul had killed his thousands and David had killed his tens of thousands, and he saw that Saul was getting pushed up above him. Watch it, because sometimes when you're rising, the people that are over you sometimes get a little afraid that you may take their spot. Their future is in jeopardy. And so, not that you've done anything, but you. I remember when I got put to management at Fountain, I didn't ask for it. I did not ask for management. And one of the other bosses in engineering thought they were going to be manager. And they come to me and pulled me into office and said, you're going to be the engineering manager. And they said, we like your style. We like, will you handle things? We like your leadership ability. We, when we thought about who we're going to do to replace this guy that left, what we're going to do, said we all come together and said that David's got to be the one. And I said, well, can you please tell the person that thinks they're going to get it? I mean, they walked around for weeks saying, I got it. I'm going to be good to y'all when I get to be your manager. I'm going to have it good for y'all. You know, when I get to be your manager, you better make sure you listen to me when I become your manager. And then they called me back around and said, you're the manager. And I said, well, please tell this person for me. And they said, oh, yeah, we'll tell them today by 5 o'clock because your management, once you sign these papers, you are manager. And I signed the papers. And I said, he said, we're going to make everybody and let it be known by 5 o'clock today that you're the manager. Before we do, we're going to tell that person so you won't feel so weird when you go back into office. Well, at 5 o'clock, the people that were going to tell her were gone. And so I called up the COO and said, y'all didn't tell this person. And they said, yeah, we know. I don't know, they were scared to tell her. They said, you tell her. You're her boss. You tell her. So I walked up and she was still saying, well, I reckon they're going to pick me today. I'm waiting. I'm waiting to be picked. And I said, can I talk to you for a minute? And we walked out and she said, well, I can't wait for them to call me. I said, they're not going to call you. She said, why? I'm the rightful one. And I said, they're not going to call you. She said, how do you know? I said, because I'm the new manager. And that person had been like a relative almost to me, like a sister to me. And when I told her that, she barely said for the next few years, she barely said more than 10 words to me. I didn't do it. I didn't ask for it. They sought me and put me there. And I kept trying to talk to this person, find a way to get things better, and 10 words. And years later, when neither one of us were working there, I saw her in Office Depot, and she wouldn't speak to me. That's when anger has become bitterness, and it's dangerous. Dangerous. So here I was. So here's Saul. He's mad at David, and so he says, "I'm going to have to take him out before he takes me out." David hadn't done anything wrong. All David done was good stuff. So this made Saul very angry. Watch this. They get credit David with 10,000, me with thousands. Next, he'll be making him the king in my place. So when people are afraid for their future, you get them angry. And then finally, frustration. Your effort is unsuccessful. Everyone in this room has a God-given need for significance. You have a God-given need to let what He's putting in you out. And when your efforts are thwarted, or you do not meet your own personal expectations or your sense of significance, or somebody else snaps it out, you begin to be frustrated. And the greatest of these is Cain. They're just getting everything established. And God is establishing that He wants the innocent to die for the guilty, and He wants a blood sacrifice. Cain, from the works of his hands, comes from the works of his hands. And God's establishing a principle. Cain is trying to give God for salvation, works of his hands for salvation. If you're in here today and you think you can, by the works of your hands, gain salvation, it's not going to happen. It's only by the blood of the innocent shed, and that's Jesus Christ. And so, He, by the works of his hands, is offering sacrifice for his salvation, which is religion. And Abel took a lamb and took its blood and offered it to God. God, he saw God accepted Abel's, but God didn't accept him. wait a minute, I worked hard. I did everything. I put it all together. And here it is, God. My brother takes a lamb that just he raises it and kills it and puts blood there. Look what I did. If you're in here today and you think you can work your way into heaven, watch what happened to Cain. So Cain sees that his brother's accepted, and he kills him. His anger got so bad. He got so angry. And in his anger, he killed his brother. So now, our hurt, our fear, and I'm showing you some very negative things. Frustration. Very, very, very negative one. All right. Ha! Anybody looked in the mirror and seen that before? Anybody ever gone to your boss and seen your boss like that? Anybody ever looked at your spouse? Close your eyes and look at anybody else. Everybody hold your head down. Anybody ever look at your spouse and see that? You put your hands up while everybody's head's down. All right. So this here's anger's nurture. Anger is fed by feelings of disappointment, rejection, embarrassment. That's what all the negatives were. When you saw those negative examples that I gave, they were all from disappointment, rejection, and embarrassment. So now, anger pits you against whatever sparked the emotion. Think about it. Anger pits you against whatever sparked the emotion. It's the opposite of the feeling of love. I promise you, it's the opposite. I love him so much, I can pop that little head off. Come here. No, you're angry. Love draws you to the person. Anger sets you against the person. Stop for a second. Think about last week or two, the last month. Anybody in your life that instead of being drawn to, which you should have been, you were set against that person? Think about it. That's powerful. That is so powerful. Now, and I told you this is just the beginning. Next week is going to be, this is the intro, okay? Anger is never neutral. Y'all said it with me. Anger is never neutral. Have you ever gone to someone and they're going, and you say, are you angry? No, I'm not angry. They are. They try to make other words up, but they're not. They're angry. Ready? It always has consequences. Good, bad, or ugly, it always has consequences. Healthy anger is a challenge. And in that challenge, you have a confrontation with the problem, with the person, with the group. A healthy anger is a challenge. And a healthy anger, God is okay with. All right? That's okay. But when you have compound anger, it's unhealthy. What's compound anger? Have you ever been kicking the cat? The compound then was all the different people. But actually, think about it in your own life. You go to work and everything's good and you get a bad report, or somebody, you get a bad report, so you're already feeling kind of upset inside. And then somebody else comes and they argue with you. Now you got somebody else arguing with you, and you call your spouse and they don't understand, and they're saying, you're a big baby. And so it's built up and built up and built up and built up inside of you until you finally do what? You explode. And the problem is you explode on the wrong person. Why? Y'all don't shout me down today, please. And then there's the collapse. That's unhealthy. Because when you collapse, you're holding it in and you're holding it in and you're holding it in. And I see that a lot too. And you see an extrovert, usually they explode. An introvert implodes. Did you know that? Think about it. An extrovert usually explodes. An introvert, which is somebody that doesn't like to get around people, doesn't like to cause problems, they don't want to. And so these are the people, have you ever seen something was shot up at a post office or something was shot up at a gas station or something? And they go, we don't understand. That guy always stayed home and never said a word to anybody. He was always to himself. He didn't like to talk to people. If he did, it was always quiet. That's an introvert. And he had it, and he had it, or she had it, and she had it, so she couldn't take it anymore. When people come to me and tell me in their marriage they never argue, I say, okay, either one of you, both, are y'all either telling me a story, or if you want to know the truth about it, if you never argue, then one of you is holding back. And what happens is it goes in and in and in until it implodes, and then it explodes. And you're going, but I thought they were such a lovely couple. Why are they splitting up? Because one held it and held it and held it and held it until they can't take it anymore. And when the dam breaks, it's terrible. The whole city gets flooded. The whole family gets flooded. All right? Everybody gets hurt. So now, and it's contagious. That's unhealthy. When you get mad and you get around people, have you ever not been mad at somebody but because somebody else is mad at them? Before you get through talking to them, you're mad at them too. I know some of y'all ain't. Y'all just too good of saints. I know. Y'all too good of saints, but I've had people, early on especially, they're mad and I'm listening to their story and I get mad. And so I've learned to avoid that. I just say, go ahead and tell me what you got to tell me. And in my head, I'm saying, I'm not going to let them influence me. I got to talk to them first and let them do their own thing. Matter of fact, in B5, I teach them this. I say, look, I said, everybody you see, and y'all think about this, everybody you see, you got a number over their head from 1 to 10. 10 being awesome, 1 being, huh? And some people, when you meet them, you automatically, because you look at them or hear about them or somebody's talked to you about them, you put a 1 there or a 2 there or a 3. And some others, because they're higher up in position or they just look awesome, they're a 10. When in all actuality, it could be reversed with the 2. So what I do is I put a 10 over everybody's head. I don't let somebody else influence me. I give everybody a 10. And if it falls, it's because they brought it down, not because somebody else brought it down. So I try to keep 10s over people's heads. Not a 10s. A 10s is a diaper. I'm talking about 10s. T-E-N. 10s over their head. And I let them bring it down. But unhealthy anger contaminates. Contaminates. And that's unhealthy because that changes the whole atmosphere. Have you ever been working good one day and everything's going great and everybody's loving it? Or everything's going good at home and just one family member comes in and everything changes? You're at work and everything's going good and one person comes in, everything's changed. We got to think about these things. We got to keep these things in the forefront of our mind and think about the dangers of what could happen. So let's go a little bit further here. Here's anger's negatives. Psalm 37:8, refrain from anger, outburst, forsake wrath, that's losing your temper. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. And this is a different version here, the Holman Standard Version. Refrain from anger and give up your rage. Do not be agitated, it can only bring harm. And then, Proverbs 29:22, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. You find somebody that's got a group around him, you know, you see it on the westerns all the time. One guy stands up and says, well, I say, hang him. And he gets everybody else upset, and he goes in there and buys them all drinks, and he gets talking about, how are we going to hang him? We're going to hang him. And then they come back out, and they're all ready to have a hanging party. Then Marshall Dillon comes up and goes, bam, we ain't going to do that. Y'all aren't thinking. Y'all are being led by the crowd. A man of wrath stirs up the crowd. Proverbs 29 and 22 in the Message. Angry people stir up a lot of discord. Then temperament stir up trouble. So when you get angry and it gets out of control, I'm going to show you what happens. Get ready. Ready? There's a whole list. They're going to just put them in rapid fire order. This is what you're giving up when you let your anger get the best of you. Ready? Habitual anger. Anger when you let it get the best of you. You lose your confidence, your energy, your faith, your freedom, your identity, your perspective, your sensitivity, and your vision. Wow. That's a lot to give up. Think about it. I can't afford to give any of that up, can you? I need it. I need every one of those every day. I need confidence. I need energy. I need faith. I need freedom. I need identity, perspective, sensitivity. I need vision. I can't afford to let anger steal all that from me. Here's just a thought. Here's some thoughts about anger. I'm getting ready to close. Y'all look like y'all want to be left alone. Y'all can quit. You look, all right, Pastor, you can quit kicking the hornet's nest. Ready? Ready? Just a thought. Your temper is like a fire. It gets very destructive when it gets out of control. Here's my favorite. A shut mouth gathers no foot. Somebody asked me one day how to get toothpaste on my shoes. I said, because my foot's been in my mouth. all right. Here's another good one. He who throws dirt loses ground. That's an old Chinese. I found out that was either Buddha or Abraham Lincoln. I couldn't figure out which one. You know, now I looked over at Linda and said, you reckon Buddha said this or Abraham Lincoln? You know what she said? Probably Benjamin Franklin. They're the three that said everything. All right. Somebody needs to practice this one. Get ready. Swallowing angry words before you say them is a whole lot better than having to eat them afterwards. Anybody ever, you know, people ask me, what'd you learn in seminary? I said, I learned how to eat three things. They said, they taught you how to eat three things? I said, yeah, chicken, barbecue, and crow. I said, I like my crow with Sweet Baby Ray's. All right. All right. Anger is a stone thrown at a wasp nest. Woo! One more. I'll leave you alone with these anyway. People who fly into rage often makes a bad landing. Come on, there you go. Always make a bad landing. So, getting ready to close. DC, you can come up and get ready to play something. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Proverbs 29:11. I sometimes just rather keep my mouth shut and not show my anger because sometimes I'm wrong. So if I'm wrong and I show my anger, and there's another little saying I say and I tell it all the time, and Jeannie used to love it. She says, okay if I get on them about this, okay if I call this company about this. I said, Jeannie, it's okay to show teeth, you just can't show tail. Somebody would say, Pastor, I really got loose today. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Did you show teeth or did you show tail? They said, I showed teeth. I said, you're all right. All right. When you let anger get the best of you, it brings out the worst in you. Think about that. One more. I promise you I'm going to leave you alone, at least for this. Ready? I'm going to pray it first, and we're going to pray it together. In this moment of anger, this is what you pray to God. Write this, hold this down, put it up, write it down, do something. Lord, in this moment of anger, I seek your guidance, Holy Father. Quell the fiery tide within me. This is in King James. Quell the fiery tide within me. Replace it with compassion and patience. Help me to react with love and not wrath. Wow. Y'all say that with me. Let's say it together. And then you put your own words in it. You can take out the King James and put it the way you want to. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you another version of this. When you get angry, don't let constipation of the brain, diarrhea of the mouth take over. All right, that's the DL version. David Linton, ready? Say it together. In this moment of anger, I seek your guidance, Holy Father. Quell the fiery tide within me. Replace it with compassion and patience. Help me to react with love, not wrath. I like to think about it this way. You can act or you can react. If I act, then I'm in control. If I react, then you're in control. Think about it. If I act, I'm in control. If I react, you're in control. Amen? Everybody stand up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. With all the pressure out there in this world right now, I mean, it seems like the pressure each week grows. It wouldn't matter who was doing what, who was in charge. It don't matter. The pressure keeps growing and growing and growing. From the White House to your house, the pressure keeps growing. It grows in your family. It grows in the people you work with. It's growing in the people that you associate with. Just pressure. And sometimes people just don't know how to act when they're under pressure. So instead they react. And little old bitty things, little old molehills can become mountains because instead of acting, you reacted. You pull out a bazooka when a fly swat would have worked. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I want you just to do with me. First, let me ask, if you're here this week, and in the last week or so, anger, everybody's head bowed, everybody's eye closed. You're here, and in the last week or so, you found yourself feeling the pressure and anger trying to take control. Anybody like that here this week? Just put that hand up. There you go. Yeah, there you go. I want you to know God's got you. God understands. And God's got what you need. Is there anybody in here in the last week or so, you've been on the receiving end of somebody who has lost it? They just lost it. And you're on the receiving end. And you know how bad that hurt to receive it and how bad it hurt to see that person delivering it. Bless everybody, God. Bless. Ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to learn how to handle these kind of situations. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you, God, for patience and power under pressure. We thank you, God, that we can come to you instead of losing it, come to you and find it. We thank you for the power of control and the power of comfort from your Holy Spirit. We dedicate our life. We rededicate our life to you right now. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing right now in our midst. In the name of Jesus, we love you. And we praise your name. And the church said, amen. Now, this Tuesday night will be week number 8 on our hermeneutics class. You can go to YouTube and you can go to Facebook to get a link to go to YouTube to see these classes. All except for last week, we had technical difficulties last week. The cameraman overslept. So we didn't have it from last week. But if you're watching it, if you're here every week, I'm going to give you a certificate that said you participated in this class. If you can come to me in all honesty and say you've watched all 7 of them, all 13 of them, you watched them all 13. Whether you were here or not, you either saw it, literally saw it, don't just turn it on and say, I'll go and talk to inmates. And inmates sometimes have to watch certain trials in order to get credit for what they're doing. And so they'll come in and talk to me in counsel, and they'll have the little tablet here with the trial going on, and they'll turn it all the way down so you can't hear it. And they'll sit it over there while I'm talking to them. I go, why is that on? And they said, because we got to log time in. I said, but is that honest? So, if you say, I watched church Sunday as I was mowing the grass, you're not being honest. I had somebody actually tell me I was mowing the grass and watched the service. I hate to see that yard. So if you really watch it, really, really, really watch it all the way through, even the corny stuff me and Eddie get going, you watch it all the way through, and you watch every one of them, I will give you a certificate that you participated in that class. I know some of y'all can't be here, and I understand that's why we're doing it this way, for the ones that can't be here. Okay? That's what this is for. That's why we're putting it on YouTube. All right. So, Tuesday night, remember, let's see, we got 8 through 13. I won't be here this Tuesday night, so we're not going to do it this Tuesday night. We're going to have something different this Tuesday night, but it's coming back, so let's get ready for that. Okay, ready? So now, let's say the Lord's Prayer. And then we're going to dismiss him in prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us.